Now, as we have been looking at archaeology in the Bible, we're looking at Babylon, and we see that Babylonian religion was self-worship. And that's essentially religion today, is self-worship, because it's making a god after our own image, a god that suits us. That's what religion is. It's self-worship, and this is what Babylonian religion was. Let me jump ahead. I went through some of these last week, so I'm just going to jump to where we were. Oh, where was it? Okay. So, this self-worship is a chief characteristic of end times apostasy. 2 Timothy 3:1 and 2. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to that if we would. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. I want to get the whole passage there. When you get there, say amen. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I don't know why this is popping. It's me. I don't know what's going on here. But we were having problems last week, so sorry. All right, 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know what it says? Self-worship. It's a characteristic of the last days. This is what we see happening. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. God says, turn away. By the way, to do that, you have to judge. You have to judge if what they're doing fits into these categories, and if they are of that such, then God says to turn away from them. This describes most modern day, even Christendom, if we can. When we get to this next slide here, the modern pop culture is narcissistic to the core. That means a love for self, an extreme love for self is what narcissism is. It's the me generation. Rolling Stones, 1965, says, I'm free to do what I want any old time. And look, this could be a concert. This could be a so-called church today. There's no telling. That's how the slide has gone downward. Why? Because this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Because men are lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Because it's all about me. It's what I want. Who cares what the Bible says? See, when we set aside the Bible, then we're in dangerous water. It can be whatever I want it to be and say whatever I want it to say. And this is where we're at. Again, we move to just 2 Timothy chapter 4, and it says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. See, it's about what they want. It's all about me. This is Babylonian religion. It's alive and well today. Babylonian religion was also luck worship. It's the pursuit of luck, good fortune, success. This was a major attraction of Baal worship. Baal was worshiped for good weather, good crops, good jobs, happiness, success. Does that describe like anything we hear today? Doesn't that describe, I mean, to me, that's just the Joel Osteen of Christianity today. Your best life now. You can have all these good things now. It's just the same thing, just repackaged. There's no new thing under the sun. Tiki was the goddess of good luck. I don't know if it's Tichy or Tiki. I think it's Tiki. The Hindu goddess Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune, the Chinese symbol of good luck. This appeals deeply to a fallen man who is covetous and lives only for this present world. Now think about it, though. Let's stop here. Let's not get after the fallen man and just be down on him and attack him and say how wicked of him, because what else is a lost person going to do? What else does a lost person have to live for other than self and this world right now? Now, be honest, this is the best it's going to get for them. So it would make sense that they're going to strive to live for right now, what I can get right now. Because the lost man, the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So the lost man, the natural man, doesn't really think into eternity. They may some, but not really, and not with any truth. So they say, I'm going to live it up right now. This is my time. I can do what I want. I can live how I want. So we can't blame them for doing that. but we should seek to help them. I mean, that's why we go share the gospel with people, so we can help them find that narrow way, the straight gate. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're seeking to do. But again, they live only for this present world. The modern gods of luck are such things as higher education. Let's just stop right there. The way this world, especially Western society, America, worships education. This is why, I mean, as we look at this, our higher education systems, whatever they may be, colleges or whatever it may be, are because we worship education, they've become indoctrination centers to indoctrinate generations away from what we would say were core American values, even if it wasn't Christian, so-called. Christianity had influence over it, and we've been influenced over that because you get the most radicals to be the professors, and they start teaching these kids these things. And impressionable young people, you know, 18 to 22, you're very impressionable. And if it's a so-called professor, well, he's studied, he knows what he's talking about, so we better believe what he says. And that's why evolution has gotten a foothold, and really it owns the media, if I could say it like that. I mean, my wife and daughter and Miss Robin and their kids went to the Natural History Museum, and they're saying, oh, well, it's filled with lies. I think it was Court yesterday when we were walking, he's like, but it's filled with lies. Praise God, he knows that. Most kids don't, because it tells them, oh, you know, billions and billions of years ago. Why? Because we've been indoctrinated because of the worship of higher education and the esteem we give to it. So the modern gods of luck are higher education, the stock market, and casinos, which is, hey, I hope I can hit it big. Think about the Powerball. And everyone, I want to hit it big. I want to hit it big. God says that if you chase after money, it's going to make wings like a bird and just fly away. And that's what it does. I challenge you. Look up some people who've won the lotto and see how it's destroyed their lives. Absolutely ruined their life and their children many times. I mean, there's instances where people or family members are hiring hitmen to kill them after they've won so they can get their money. I mean, others that have just blown it on nothing, but waste it, gamble it all away. God says a man's to work. Amen. And if he doesn't work, he shouldn't eat.
Amen.
Babylonian religion was good works worship. Again, this is all false religion, everything we're looking at here. This goes back to Cain, who offered the fruit of his own works to God. God wasn't impressed with what Cain brought, but he wanted a sacrifice like Abel brought, a blood sacrifice. That's what he wanted. That's what impressed God. See, the blood always has to be there. That's why we have to look to Christ. It's not about what we can do for salvation. We cannot earn our own salvation. We cannot earn forgiveness with God. It's only through what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. That's the atonement that God will accept as full payment for our sin, for my sin, for your sin. That's the only thing that God will accept, is the blood of Christ. And it's been that way from the beginning of time. That sacrifice that Abel brought was a picture of what was to come, not what Cain brought. Cain brought the works of his hands. And that's man's religion, is the works of his hands. See, look at this good thing I did for you, Lord. And I'm trying to earn favor with him. God won't buy it. Every man-made religion has been a works religion. Natural man does not want to acknowledge that he is unrighteous before God. I mean, you've got Mother Teresa there and all the good things she did, humanly speaking, and she did. I mean, she helped people, but they died and went to hell unless they got saved. You read her memoirs, she died and went to hell. She never accepted Christ as her Savior. She didn't know anything of forgiveness. Why? Because the Catholic Church doesn't teach of the way of salvation according to the Word of God. They do not. I grew up Catholic. They do not teach the way of salvation. I could have still, to this day, been living as a Catholic, and I'd be dying and on my way to hell. That's it, because they don't teach the way of salvation. They corrupt it. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So the good deeds that we do, God sees them just as filthy rags. If we're trying to earn our way to heaven by coming to church, by getting baptized, by obeying the Ten Commandments, by any of those types of things, God says, as you bring your good works to me, all those are filthy rags. That's not enough. That won't wipe away the filth of your sin. You need the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. That's the only way of salvation. The Egyptian doctrine illustrates the Babylonian concept of salvation through good works. We looked at this before. I'll move through it more quickly. The Egyptian Book of the Dead describes the deceased led into a hall of judgment by Anubis. There his heart is weighed against the feather of Mat, signifying the weighing of his good works against the bad. And this is what the world thinks. You know, if my good outweighs my bad, I thought this. This is what I thought. If my good outweighs my bad, I'm getting in. Because I'm just a little better on this side than this side. Doesn't work like that. I mean, just put it in a courtroom. God, the Bible says God is going to judge us. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. He says in Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, he says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? God suffers long with us, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So the fact that God hasn't killed you yet and you're still alive, if you're not saved, the goodness of God, his longsuffering, he's suffering long with you, is what leads you to repentance. That's what God wants. Verse 5 goes on to say, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So there is coming a day when we die, we'll stand before God and his righteous judgment will be revealed before us. And verse 6 says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So God is going to give to us according to our deeds. So if you've lied, God will judge you based on that. It's not, but I told the truth over here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't erase the lie. I told the truth 5 times and lied once. It doesn't matter. It doesn't erase the lie. God's going to judge you based on your deeds. Did you know Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus said similar to this, but if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Just to hold hatred in your heart makes you a murderer. In God's eyes, it's that serious. So probably everyone in here for the most part can sit here and say, I've never murdered anyone. I've never physically taken somebody's life. But if you've hated somebody, you're a murderer. If someone's cut you off in traffic and you just wanted to just slam into the back of them, you're a murderer because of that hatred. See, there's none righteous. No, not one. We're guilty before a holy God, and God will give us what we deserve. So if we're weighing our good works against our bad, guess what? You're guilty. You're not going to make it. So again, according to the Egyptian Book of the Dead, if he passes the judgment, he is received into the presence of the gods. The vast majority of people everywhere believe this ancient Egyptian Babylonian lie, thinking that salvation is by good deeds, sincerity, religion, etc. How many people have you run into as you've shared your faith that think sincerity is going to do it? Well, they're sincere. Well, what if I sincerely, I mean with all of my heart, believe that 2 + 2 = 5? I mean, but I believe it and I'm passionate about it. I say, no, I add them up. 2 + 2 = 5. Don't you see it? You don't see 2 + 2 = 5. I'm passionate about it. I mean, everything I've got, no, it's 5. Am I wrong? But I'm sincere. There's a lot of sincere people out there that follow the religion that they've got with all their heart. And they give everything to it. And they're wrong. I don't doubt Mother Teresa's sincerity. I don't. I believe she was sincere in what she did. And she wanted to help people. And I also believe she's in hell right now. Because she rejected the only payment for sin that God will accept. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. She rejected it. She wanted to add to that. So, yeah, it's Jesus but Mary. But my good works, but my baptism, but me keeping the sacraments. The Muslims that want to go on these suicide missions, they're sincere, willing to kill themselves for it even, but they're wrong. They're wrong. Doesn't matter how sincere we are. Even New Agers believe in works such as ending poverty, saving the environment, striving for gender equality, promoting gay rights, and solving the AIDS crisis. So this is where the New Age movement stands. They want to do all these good things. By the way, this has entered churches through what's known as the social gospel. Okay, I stand against a social gospel. Amen. Okay, I don't stand against holy living, but I stand against a social gospel. A social gospel says I'm gonna try and make your life better right now while you go to hell. We need to feed the homeless, but don't give them the gospel. I'm all for feeding the homeless. We'll feed them, but they're gonna hear the gospel. Amen. Okay, we're not just gonna feed them just to feed them. We're feeding them so they'll give us an ear and we can share the gospel with them. That's why we do it. That's what we need to do. You know, this stuff enters churches and you wonder, how do churches get an apostasy? I'll tell you, first off, because they get away from this. Amen. That's where it starts, by them getting away from the doctrine of Christ, which I talked about on Wednesday. That's where it starts. And then it goes further and farther as I look at some churches that maybe at one time had a strong stand, or even maybe right now people may think they have a strong stand, and I see some of the things that they're doing and I say they're starting on a trend. And they say, oh, you're just picking on people and all this. No, I'm not. You can see the direction that they're going. The people you associate with and the actions you take and the types of things that you do point in a direction. And it tells people which way you're going. And I see what were maybe once strong churches are standing in a direction and facing a direction and taking small steps that way that I don't want anything to do with. That our church shouldn't want anything to do with, because the direction they're going, we should stay away from that. And these things are entering churches where now you've got churches that are putting up, you know, gay pride flags. The sodomite flags there, they've got them waving the rainbow flag. And they're, you know, thinking of having special services. I forget, I read it just this week. I forget which church, maybe the Episcopalians, I forget who it was, but they want to have a special service for them as they transition, gender transition. So they're making up a special service. Does this not fit? Go back to 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, I'm looking something up. Give me a second here. If I can find it, I'm going to read it to you. All right, it's the Anglican Church. That's the Episcopalians. The Anglican Church to offer special services for transgender people. The Anglican Church's General Synod has voted in favor of offering special services to welcome transgender people to the Anglican faith. The motion passed by a margin of 284-78, proposing the motion. Proposing the motion, Chris Newlands from Blackburn, Lancashire said, I hope that we can make a powerful statement to say that we believe that trans people are cherished and loved by God who created them and is present through all the twists and turns of their lives. The God who created man created him male and female, so a transgender person is... Okay, so that's the end of the quote. Sorry. Now, here's the statement. The God who created man created him male and female, so a transgender person is rebelling against God's created order. Gender is not an accident of nature. Psalm 139 says, God creates the individual in the mother's womb according to his plan. The Anglican Church has never been a biblical church. Amen. And in recent times, it has grown ever more doctrinally apostate and morally reprobate. Already in 1953, Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, in his book, Nature and God, said, there is no such thing as revealed truth. So this is what happens when we depart from the Word of God. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It says there, preach the Word to be instant in season and out of season. Right now, look, if we're going to stand for the Bible, if we're going to stand for the Word of God, then it's out of season right now. And the Bible commands us to preach the Word. Be instant. If it's popular, if it's not, preach it. And that's the stand we need to take. That's where we need to be to fight this type of apostasy. This is rebellion against God. Transgenderism, to change the gender that you are, is to me the epitome of blasphemy against God. Because you're saying what God created me is wrong. You're saying, God, you're wrong. And this is what I want. It goes on to say, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to endure what the Bible says. They don't want to hear what the Bible says. So what are they going to do because of that? But after their own lust. See, this is what I want. So after my own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to put up teachers that are going to tell them what they want. Scratch that itch. This guy's not scratching my itch. I need a different one. This is why you got church hopping all over the place. Give me something that's going to tell me what I want. I want a Burger King religion. Have it your way. That's what I'm looking for. So they bounce all over the place instead of, because they won't endure sound doctrine. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They'll believe any lie because they turn from the truth. That's what's going to happen. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. That's what God says. This is how you end up with this stuff. It's not just the New Agers promoting gay rights. You've got so-called churches doing it. In the name of Christ, they're doing it. See, they pervert and corrupt what the Bible says. They just take the portion that they want. There's, oh, God, John 3:16, God so loved the world. God loves them with all their twists and turns. But he won't accept them with all their twists and turns. Amen. If you want to stay living in this life, you want to say, I'm a murderer and I just kill one person a week. We'd look at you and say, that's ridiculous. Well, I was born this way. Stop judging me. I can't help it. I was born like this. I was born a murderer. I just got to knock off one person every week. But God loves me. Jesus loves me and I'm saved. How many of you are going to buy that? Come join our church. Maybe it'll be one of us next week. You wouldn't say that. No. God says repent. Amen. Repent. I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So you can't say, I'm just a murderer. I'm just going to stay doing it. I can't. I'm just a sinner. So I'm just going to stay doing it. No. You can't come to God on your terms. That's a God after your own imagination. You got to come to God on His terms. Same for the sodomite. You can't stay like that. You got to turn from that wickedness. You got to come to God on His terms. Repent. Repent. So here's the New Agers. Here's what they do. They've got their works religion as well. Solving the AIDS crisis. Look at this. They promote gay rights and their work at solving the AIDS crisis. They don't understand those go hand in hand. Just do your own research. Look into the statistics of what population more than any other has AIDS. Man is totally condemned by God's righteous standards. If you want to go before God on your own merits, if you want to stand before God on your own merits, you stand no hope. You stand zero hope, less than zero hope of entering heaven. There's no way it's going to happen. Galatians 3:24 says, wherefore the law, now when we speak of the law here, it's talking about the Ten Commandments, okay? I talk to a lot of people, they say, well, I'll keep the Ten Commandments, I'll be a good person. God says, wherefore the law, the Ten Commandments, was our schoolmaster. It's like a principal, it's a disciplinarian to guide you, okay? Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. That's the purpose of the law. That's the purpose of the Ten Commandments, is to point people to Jesus Christ. Why? Because when you stand before the law of God, it's like a mirror pointing back at you saying, guilty, 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 condemned, 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 condemned. That's what the law stands there doing. It was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. So it points you to Jesus Christ so you can be forgiven. So you can be what the Bible word that's used right here is justified. That means you can be declared righteous. That's what justified means. It means God imputes the righteousness of Christ. He places it on you. He puts it on your account. It's like if you needed $1 million to get to heaven, okay? Does anybody in here have $1 million? Okay, let's say $10 billion, okay? Because none of us will ever stand a chance of getting $10 billion, okay? It's like if we need $10 billion to get to heaven, I'm not going to make it. There's no way ever I'm going to make it to heaven. It won't happen. Some of you are like, I might. Oh, the pride that's in man. Okay, no, you're wicked. No, you're not making it either, okay? None of us are going to make it. We need $10 billion. But then all of a sudden somebody comes and they put $10 billion in our bank account. On our behalf, they put it there so now we can go to heaven. Okay, that's essentially, just a picture, a bad picture, but it's a picture of what Jesus Christ wants to do for us. See, we need His righteousness put on our account. It needs to be applied to us. And that happens when we turn to the Lord and we receive Him as our Savior. Without that, we have no hope. Why? Because the law leaves us condemned. It just leaves us condemned. That's all it does. So it's only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that any sinner can be accepted before Almighty God. Because if we stand to His righteous standard, we're condemned. Romans 3:23 and 24, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. None of us meet His standard. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, we're declared righteous freely. He did it all. It's not about my works. He did it all. By His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means to buy back. He bought us. He purchased us. That's what He went and did. All right, Babylonian religion was star worship. This is the beginning of astrology. The sun god was called Shamash, Marduk, Asher, and other names. One of his symbols was a disc or a wheel encircling a star or cross and or rays. Okay, something like this. We've seen some of these. The moon was worshipped as Sin and other names. His symbol was the crescent. Okay, doesn't that fit? What religion do we say the crescent moon fits with? I mean, most of us know Islam. So what are they doing? They're worshipping the moon god. Allah is the moon god. It's not the one true god. It's a devil. Look, just by the way, I know this may be kind of harsh, but if anybody worships any god other than the Jesus Christ of the Bible, okay, they're worshiping a devil. It's not the one true God. Look, the Jews today do not worship the one true God. Okay, I know that shocks some people. The Jews today do not worship the one true God. If they were, they would be worshiping Jesus Christ. They do not. They've rejected how God has revealed himself. They've rejected it. Every false religion out there is worshiping a devil. What? Well, if you reject Jesus Christ, it's not the God of the Bible. And it has to be the same Jesus Christ that's portrayed in the Scriptures, because the Bible talks about there being false Christs. And there's many of them out there. I mean, we've got the modern day, you know, Christianity, Jesus that's okay with everybody's sin, and let's put the gay flag up and do all that stuff. That's another Jesus. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible condemned sin. When he came to wicked sinners, he said, "Hey, I forgive you, go and sin no more." He didn't say, "Go and sin some more." That's what modern day Christianity says. "Hey, I forgive you, go and sin some more. Live it up. You have a license. Here, let me give you a license." That's what modern day Christianity says. Jesus didn't say that. Go and sin no more. Moon worship continued in Rome as Luna, in Greece as Selene. In Hinduism, the sun is worshipped as Surya, and the moon is worshipped as Chandra. Their symbols are still the crescent and the wheel of rays. So you can see them both right there in that picture. An ancient Hindu tablet at the Patan Museum in Kathmandu, you could see, you know, both on the left side, the crescent, the sun on the right. There they are, being worshipped. The Nepali coin features these symbols. You could see it on the left, the moon, the sun on the right. The moon goddess is worshipped in Buddhism as Tara. Moon worship is also part of the New Age. And, I mean, see how this all fits together. You know, what does the Bible say about the devil? He's the what of this world? The God of this world. And why does all this fit together? Why do all these different false religions? They're not one and the same. They have different origins, or do they? No, they don't. It's all the God of this world is teaching them these things and showing them these things, and they're all the same. There is no difference, because the God of this world is the one behind all of them. By the way, this is how you're going to get a one-world religion, as we even see it approaching now. I mean, you've got the Pope trying to get together with the Muslims and all this, and the Greek Orthodox is coming back, and it looks like Rome and the Greek Orthodox Church, which was just a split from Roman Catholicism. You had, Western Catholicism, Eastern Catholicism, and then they're coming back together, okay? That's the Roman Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox Church, and now the head guy of the Greek Orthodox, I forget what he is, some bishop or something, but him and the Pope just met a few months back, maybe a little more than that, but it's all coming back together, all of it. All of it. It's all the same. So moon worship is also part of the New Age. Babylonian religion was goddess worship. From Babylon, it spread throughout the earth. Okay, Babylonian religion was goddess worship. The goddess was known by many names. Tiki, Athena, Isis, and they all look similar, all of them. Artemis, Juno, Aphrodite. So what's the common denominator here that all these false religions, that so-called different religions, what's the common denominator here? Why is it so much similar? Because they're all founded by the God of this world. They're founded by the devil. That's the common denominator. Hegela, Minerva, Fortuna, Ceres. One of the most prominent Babylonian goddesses was Ishtar. One of her symbols was the lion. The lions decorating the gates of Babylon represented Ishtar. Another of the symbols of Ishtar was the star. Goddess worship is still prominent in Hinduism. It's still prominent in Buddhism. Goddess is prominent in the New Age. A search at Amazon Books brings up thousands of titles. Goddess is a world of myth and magic. Sumunk Kidd, a popular writer who used to be a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher, journeyed from Catholic contemplative mysticism to New Age and now worships goddesses. This is what she does. She used to be sit in a Southern Baptist church and teach little kids in Sunday school. And now she worships goddesses. Let's look at 1 John 2:19. I've got it right here. Here's what 1 John 2:19 says. So she was a member of a Baptist church, we could say. All right, what about her? Here's what 1 John 2:19 says. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us." She just proved herself. Her fruit showed that she wasn't of us. What she put forth is proof that she wasn't of us. This is why it's so important we're careful with who we allow to be a member here. Amen. It's important that we do our best to make sure they're saved. Here's what she's done. She built an altar in her study and populated it with statues of goddesses plus a mirror to reflect her own image. Why would she want a mirror? Because she's a goddess. Because she believes she's a goddess, so she can look and worship herself. See how the connection? It's just a god after our own image. I am a goddess. So how does that fit for men? Are we goddesses too? All right. The goddess was the deification of the sex passion. Sacred prostitution in connection with her sanctuaries was a universal custom among the women of Babylon. I mean, you see in Ephesus and even Corinth that they had temple prostitutes, and that was part of their religious worship. Okay, by the way, that stuff is still alive and well in Wicca, in witchcraft. It's alive and well in that stuff. Alive and well. None of this stuff has died. Wherever Babylonian idolatry is practiced, society is morally debased. What would we say about America? Is America morally debased? I mean, can you drive down the freeway and just look at all the billboards that are up, or do you have to look away? You have to look away. We're morally debased. It's everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, when you look at the clothing that some women leave the house in, and men too, but the clothing that some women leave the house in, I mean, I'm talking about the shorts and the shirts that they wear, it's no different than undergarments. It's no different. They're so small and so tight, what's the difference? There isn't any. The Bible says they're naked. They're naked. Same thing with men walking around. If a man's showing his thigh, it's nakedness. It doesn't change what God said. If he's going around without a shirt, he's naked. I mean, I've showed us this stuff in the Bible. But the Bible proves it. It's nakedness. We live in a morally debased society. The term Babylon is a byword for immorality, is rooted in the vocabulary of every modern language. Keller said that, and the Bible is history. Idolatry's filthy sensuality was the enticement that caused Israel to sin repeatedly. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. What do? They follow them. They begin to like their daughters. These lost people is what it's saying. They like these lost people. They begin relationships with these lost people. And then they're hooked, and now they're in whoredom. And it doesn't just start with physical fornication. It leads to spiritual fornication, spiritual adultery, as they follow after their religions because their heart got hooked. Hindu temples are decorated with pornographic images. Shiva worship, Krishna worship, and tantric yoga are all immoral. Why would that be part of religious worship? Because men shall be lovers of their own selves. Because I like it. I want this. Therefore, this is my religion now. The same is true for the New Age. It is founded on the new ethics, which is moral relativism. So basically, if it feels good, do it. If I like it, if it works, I'm going to do it. Okay, pragmatism. By the way, as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be very careful with pragmatism, doing something because it works. We have to measure everything by the Word of God. And there may be some things that maybe they're not even bad, but it'd be better for us just to stay away from it and not do it. Because again, what direction are we facing? What direction are we facing? Is it going to lead us somewhere we don't want to go? We have to be so careful of that. Because there's churches that are doing things, you know, how do you end up apostate where you're accepting sodomites and having special transgender services for their transition, their surgery that they had? How do you end up there? Well, it starts when we're right here and we slowly depart from the Word of God. That's where it starts. That's how it ends up apostasy, because we don't stand by this and we allow just little things to come in. And then 5-10 generations from here, we're that wickedness. Babylonian idolatry has blossomed in the end times, rock and roll, Hollywood, pop culture, which has filled society with adultery, fornication, divorce, Pornography, abortion, homosexuality, and demonic violence. It's there, it's everywhere. We're inundated with it. We're indoctrinated with it. That it's so normal, we're desensitized to it. We can't, we don't blush at these things anymore because we see it so much. And some of that we can't help just because of the world we live in. But man, we should strive to keep it out of our home. Don't let it in your home. We can't help the world we live in. We have to live here. We have to, you know, go to the grocery store. We have to drive down the roads and things like that. We can't stop that stuff, but we don't have to let it in our home. We don't have to allow it to influence us in our home. I'm telling you just right now, I know that some of us in here need to destroy some movies we've got. Destroy them. We allow this stuff in our home. The Babylonian world system exists in modern society. Let me back up here when I said some people in here. Look, I've had to do this as a pastor, go in and destroy stuff in my home. I'm not saying I'm past all of this. We're constantly checking what's good and what's bad. It doesn't ever stop. I'm constantly evaluating things and say, man, I need to get this right. So don't think that I've arrived either when I come and preach against this stuff. Hey, it's for all of us. All of us need it. All right, the Babylonian world system exists in modern society, and its sensuality is a major temptation to God's people today, just as it was in the early churches. Let's go to Revelation 2:14. Never mind, it's right here. I thought it was. All right, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. Just like they have. He's telling this church, I have a few things against thee. Why? Because you are keeping those there in your church that hold the doctrine of Balaam, which is what? Throwing a stumbling block before the children of Israel. So throwing a stumbling block before people in this church is what he's saying. There's people there that you're tolerating to be there who are throwing a stumbling block before everyone else there. Which did what? It taught people to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. That's what it taught them. And that was his advice. He says, hey, just get them to intermarry. Get them to start fornicating. And God will curse them because they've sinned against God. He says, God won't let me curse them. God's not going to curse them. But here's how you can get it to happen. Just intermix them with the world. And God will have to curse them because his word says so. Man, you got a wicked prophet there that at least believes the Bible. He says, God will curse him. He said he would. He won't tolerate that type of life in saved people. He's going to curse them because of it. Okay, so this church had people there that it led them to commit fornication. Babylonian religious was mother goddess worship. We'll jump to this next week.